Hey, this is Scruffy Wallace, the Dropkick Murphys, and you're listening to WMFO Medford.
Good afternoon. You're listening to WMFO 91.5 FM, Tufts Freeform Radio. This is the JumboCast Radio Hour, your every other weekly dose of Tufts sports. We're going to get started in just a few minutes, but we're going to start it off with a sort of sports-themed song to give me time to sort of get it set up and ready to talk about mostly women's basketball with our exciting JumboCast panel. So this is the Saw Doctors. Irish music to start there. That was the Saw Doctors, their 1992 album, all the way from Tomb. That song was called Pied Piper. Sort of sports related. Talked about him playing goalkeeper. in like a five-a-side team. We're going to jump into something far from being Irish, though. We're going to talk about Tufts women's basketball, but first let's introduce who's here in the studio. We're going to be joined by our GM, Owen Finnegan, in just a few minutes. But in the meantime, I'm Charlie Driver, if you two want to introduce yourself now.
Sure.
I'm Noah Goldstein. I'm a freshman.
No, you want to move the mic a little closer to you?
Yeah, I got you there.
Thank you. So we got Noah and...
Yeah, I'm Max Goldfarb, a freshman as well.
Great. And we're going to talk about the women's basketball team right now. Women's basketball, probably the main story in Tufts sports right now. They're into the NESCAC. Well, they actually won the NESCAC tournament, the first time they've done that in many years, and have followed that up with a nice run through the sectionals that they hosted last weekend, beating Western New England. Western New England in the first round of the NCAA tournament by a score of 70-44. And then advancing to the Sweet 16, which is going to be held in Scranton, Pennsylvania, starting today at 5 p.m., beating Haverford in the round of 32, 52-46. So from one Pennsylvania team then to another. But we're going to jump all the way back to the NESCACs now and the semifinal, which was a big victory for Tufts, 47-46 over a highly ranked Amherst team. They were the number two seed in that tournament. They were higher ranked nationally. And it was also an Amherst team that hadn't actually lost to Tufts since 2016. And so this was a huge upset. Did either of you get a chance to sort of watch the game, or have you been keeping up with what's going on?
Yeah, I got parts of that game. That was an exciting one. Jeanette Wadalowski hit a game-winning shot with 1.4 seconds to go. The Jumbos played a good game there. As you said, they've had a really tough time with Amherst. They had a tough time with them earlier in the season when they played here, and that was a huge win for them. Put them in the final versus Bowdoin.
Yeah, and it was very much a back-and-forth affair. They were trading it at the end there. Pretty much nothing to decide the teams during any of the initial opening quarters. It was 10-8 to open the game for Tufts. Then the second quarter, 11-10, Tufts went into the halftime down, up one, and ended up preserving that over the course of the game, thanks to Wadalowski. And Owen's just arrived. Owen, we're talking some women's basketball right now, and we're talking about...
Nothing better.
We're sort of recapping Jeanette Wadalowski's heroics early on, and we're going to go all the way through. So why don't you take a seat and tell us about what you saw in that game against Amherst, which I know you were watching very closely.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Owen. I'm in charge of this club. Everybody else who's here is significantly lower in both position and import to the club than myself. So just wanted to preface what I'm about to say with that.
Yeah, that's how you were late.
Did we talk about Jeanette the Jet Wadalowski yet?
We discussed her heroics, but if you want to give us a blow-by-blow recap of what you felt in the moment...
Personally, or just from a game
standpoint? I mean, honestly,
I was watching with friend of the program, because he's part of the program, Daniel Mahoney, and we were sitting in my dining room watching on my Asus G750 JW Chromebook. No big deal, $200 retail, kind of a flex, but yeah. And then the shot went in. Amherst really flubbed the possession beforehand, which was kind of a miracle. And then there were fouls all over the place. And finally, we got a clean possession. And Jet pulled up. Nobody wanted to shoot it for the entire shot clock. I remember Jack Knapp passed it. I remember Erica DeCandido passed it out of the paint. And then Jet got it from the free throw line. And just it was an ugly shot, but it went in. And Daniel and I ran around my living room. We hugged each other for a little bit. It was a magical moment.
Would you say more emotion than when the Pats won the Super Bowl?
I'd say
at
more emotion.
At this point, yes, because it happens less often.
Yeah, beating Amherst. Because, you see, the last time we beat Amherst was 2016, right? So I was a senior in high school. So I've seen two Pats Super Bowls before I saw Tufts beat Amherst. So really, it was more emotional to me than that, than the Super Bowl, yeah.
Yeah, priorities in the right place there.
The connection was there.
I know I'm sitting next to some Jets fans, so I'm sorry for sorry for that.
Yeah, and it was another defensive battle from Tufts and Amherst, but the difference was essentially that Tufts actually was hitting shots they wouldn't make at any other time, because we saw that earlier in the season, just weren't able to get any shots off against this Amherst defense, but something clicked.
Amherst missed free throws, too. it was crazy. They never miss free throws, and they missed some down the stretch there.
Let's take a look at that box score and find out more.
I might be misremembering. I might be thinking of the voting game.
It looks like they were 100% on their free throws.
There you go.
Yeah, they were in the voting game. They only actually got seven. They only had seven free throws for the entire game, though. Which is, so Tufts did a good job of avoiding that. 13.
Yeah.
They shot 69.2%.
Yeah, they were fouling. Amherst is fouling us all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah, and Amherst also shot higher than Tufts, but again Brandon took here? Fewer attempts. No,
it's tough. Missed that guy.
I think the big thing, the big thing that you can point to here, looking at the stat lines, is turnovers. Where for the game, Tufts has 13 turnovers, Amherst has 22. So Tufts' defense actually winning that ball back, it's probably the difference in this game.
That's what they do. Their pressure style, force the turnovers, score in the fast break. That's what they did throughout this run, really. And we've seen, Wadalowski stepped up from being, I don't want to be mean here, but she was largely irrelevant for most of the season. She's begun to play big minutes, be the first person off the bench. She had that huge game. Who was that big game versus? Was that the first round of the NCAA?
What are you asking me?
7 of 7.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that was the first round.
Yeah, I think that was against Hamilton.
Off
maybe.
The bench.
Yeah. So she's proven herself to be a real strong contributor for this Jumbo's teams, and is going to probably continue being so. Since we have so many games to recap, let's just play it forward to the next day then. Picture this, Owen, if you will. Bowdoin's home gym, which is much less nice than Tuss's gym. Probably a couple hundred people. I don't know how many people actually came out.
Oh, I can tell you right now.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Get that attendance up.
Charlie, would you believe me if I said 1,353 people were at that game?
No, I would not.
It's almost as if the NESCAC fudges their attendance numbers for every single
Do you think
game.
There's a guy with one of the clickers and it's just like people are coming in, or he's trying to count? I think they probably roll a series of dice.
Yeah, right.
And they're to like a big number it lands on.
How many people came?
Random number.
First digit rolls a six-sided die. Oh, one. So Tufts, Bowdoin. Face down. Tufts lost to Bowdoin earlier in the season. Bowdoin undefeated up to that point. The Polar Bears mighty once again, but they lost.
Yeah, that's right. And I was at a career night thing a couple days ago.
Is that by any chance the Education and Advocacy Career Night?
It was. It was the Education and Advocacy Career Night, and I was talking to this guy, very nice guy from this company, and grew up around here just like myself. And he was like, "Yeah, I just recently graduated from Bowdoin College," and I laughed heartily in his face, and I took back my resume, and I was like, "I don't want to work for you, man," and. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, you were offered the position of superintendent in Boston schools.
I was.
But yeah, you cannot work for a Bowdoin man. Divisions run deep.
I had to turn it down. I've got too much jumbos in my blood.
Fully your dream job, and just on principle, you can't take it.
This was a weird game. It was just weird. Everything about this game was really weird. It was a weird first half. The foul calls were really bizarre. The players who performed were really bizarre. Jack Knapp really didn't get going until the third quarter.
Yeah, but she netted in the end 25 points, including her 1,000th career point.
Because look at those free throws. 10 out of 11 from the line. You never see that in women's basketball.
I think she had an 18 for 18 from the line earlier this season,
oh,
or something
really?
Ridiculous. Yeah. Well, it's just like
they put
these
her on the line at the end of that Haverford game, and it was
little hack a nap.
Ice.
The beauty of Jack Knapp's position as point guard is that she just ends up getting fouled when the jumbos are pulling away. So the game essentially becomes just repeated trips to the free throw line for her.
Yeah.
But that's
still
fine for
11.
Her. Yeah, 7 for 17 from the field, 10 of 11 from the line for 25 points. On the other side for Bowdoin, Maddie Hassan contributed 20 points. Only shot 5 of 13 from the field, though, which isn't necessarily what you want. She was 10 of 10 from the line. This was perhaps a little less back and forth than the Amherst game.
Yeah, it wasn't as fun to watch as the as exciting to watch as the Amherst game. If I'm mistaken, but I think Tufts was in the lead for pretty much the entire game.
Yeah, I think there were 5 lead changes, but Tufts jumped out 23-19 after the first quarter.
Yeah.
And the only quarter that they were outscored by Bowdoin was the third, and it was 18-15, so not even enough to sort of come back from that lead.
Yeah, I don't even think they took the lead. I don't even think they took the lead in that quarter, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a wonderful performance then by the Jumbos, especially since they lost so badly to Bowdoin earlier in the season. Bowdoin, yeah. I think, demolished them. And that was at home during the regular season. And it's really, that's a statement by this team, to go out there and win 2 games against the two of the best teams in the country, including the best team in the country in Bowdoin, really sort of set them up for success in this NCAA round. And that's exactly what they did.
Yeah. As much as the 4th ranked team in the country can be an underdog in this tournament, they were an underdog. So it was kind of crazy. I try explaining this to like my friends, but no one's really that interested in hearing about this. So I figured this was the perfect platform to talk about it. But women's basketball is much less prone to upsets, because like the scoring is much lower than like male counterparts. And with that comes just like less total possessions, longer shot clock, 30-second shot clock. So like, variance in scores just doesn't happen a lot. You need a lot of things to go right.
It's also, you also don't see people scoring as high totals of points. You can't.
Right.
It's harder because it's built more off of team defense, and so it's harder for one person to just go and destroy everyone.
Right. So with that being said, just for these 2 upsets, which granted, like they're not like enormous, like 16-1 seed upsets, because Tufts is a really, really good team, but they're still upsets nonetheless. For 2 of those to happen in a row in back-to-back days is pretty insane, and I think just a testament to like the coaching of this team and the team itself. And
yeah, and to build off of something where you just scraped it out thanks to some heroics from Jeanette Wadalowski to a thing where you actually beat Bowdoin fairly comprehensively.
Yeah, that whole game I was like, I had a feeling that Berube had seen something all season from Bowdoin, and like I don't know what it was because I'm not a basketball expert, but I think she saw something and was just able to exploit it in that game. Like Tufts was just in control of that game, like quite frankly. I'll say it. I'm not afraid to say it.
Oh, is that a hot take? Is that our first hot take of the day?
Well, we need someone to call into the Subway Fresh Take WMFO hot take hotline before we can confirm. So
I'm trying to find the bracket right now, and Division 3 is giving me a very weird...
Oh, I can pull that up for you. Can we?
I mean, I can find it. So I'm looking at the 2019 Division 3 Women's Basketball official bracket.
Yeah, I was on the website. And picture of me in the background on the bracket.
It's already...
Were you actually?
Like, my face is all blurred out, but it's me.
That's actually awesome.
It's giving me something. Oh, no, I was just looking at the wrong part.
At least 50 people saw that.
It's a picture. Brandon sent it to me. It's a picture of Emily Briggs taking a layup, and I'm, like, over her right shoulder.
That's sick, actually. Yeah, that's actually awesome. Great week for the club, for the organization.
Yeah, really big week.
Great week for the brand.
Big week. I assume that no one's listening to this radio show because everyone's watching our current broadcast of Tufts Epic Conference.
Oh, have we talked about that yet?
No, we haven't talked about Epic, the premier the premier student-led international relations conference at Tufts that happens annually and is broadcast by JumboCast.
Migration in a turbulent world.
It's actually been very interesting this year.
Yeah, so, it's cool. That's a cooler topic than last year's topic.
What was last year's topic again?
It was like, is this the end of like the world orders or like something?
Oh,
like
the
that.
End of the new world order.
The end of the new world order.
That's the sort of, that's like academic clickbait. That idea. We're gonna digress from sports here, faithful listening audience, to discuss sort of my.
Here's a bracket.
My hot takes on.
I have a bracket.
Oh, I got the bracket. I just
the bracket is in front of us, but we decided to talk about Epic anyway.
I was not scrolling down enough. But I have very strong feelings about academic takes on the end of world orders.
No, please go on.
So picture this, dear listener. It's the late 1990s. You have a former Bush official, Bush administration official named Francis Fukuyama. This guy goes out and he's like, oh, you know what? I'm not employed anymore by the Bush administration. I need something where I can get a lot of money. Let's just do the hot take to end all academic hot takes. And he wrote, because
it's
the
end of the world order.
He wrote a book called The End of History. In which he essentially, his claim was, America has won the Cold War. The Western world has triumphed over the forces of evil and communism in the East. And now that democracy has revealed itself to be the supreme ideology, the world will have no internalized conflict anymore. Nothing new will happen in dynamic. Everyone will just agree, well, this is what we do now.
This is almost too exciting.
And it well, it was like massively, it became a bestseller because everyone wanted to read it.
What decade is this?
This was the 90s. And you know what's happened since then?
Not much.
History has continued. Yeah. and new things have happened. And so, like, so much of academia is just saying, like, oh, hot take, you know, the new world order has come. Like, the old one's dead. When there is no new world order, the world order just continues.
Here's a question for
it
you
evolves.
Guys. Something I'm a little frustrated about. How come the Tufts Messiah matchup gets 5 o'clock showtime when everybody's driving home from work? You know, maybe people are leaving work early to catch
it's
the
true,
game.
It's
yeah.
True.
But the Amherst St. Thomas matchup gets the primetime 9 p.m. slot.
Oh, geez.
They get the West Coast viewers too.
Because Central time. They need the Central time from Minnesota.
That's true. That's a good point. But I just think that's a little bias from the bracket makers there. Charlie, any comments?
I think this is a conspiracy that goes very deep in order to give Tufts an earlier playtime, thus driving down viewership, thus driving down support down the line, and therefore lowering Tufts' massive merch sales that they stood to get from having a nationally televised 7 p.m. game.
Tough.
They did not give us hosting duties.
Yeah, you know what? Like,
and so that's why it's in Scranton.
It's disappointing. it's disappointing.
It is.
A couple of my friends last week, I was like, I'm going to broadcast the game. You should come down. I was like, there's no way they come down. They came down. Now they're like, when are they playing?
Are you saying they came down,
down
because you were broadcasting the game, and by coming down, couldn't actually watch you broadcast?
Oh, yeah. It made zero sense. But they came down, and now they're like, looking for this next game. I think they're all going to meet up without me because I'm busy and watch this 5 o'clock game together.
That's tough.
It's tragic.
It is. But you know what? I'm happy because I brought in some new fans.
And to be honest, who'll be feeling it the most is March Madness Live. Forget about what goes on in a couple weeks when the men's D1 tournament starts.
That's right.
The ratings being driven down will start now and will continue throughout this putrid
right.
month.
Let's take a sec now to go through this bracket and talk about the bracketology side of it.
I have a little bit to say about each
our
one
resident
of these
Joe
teams,
Lenardi.
So.
Yeah.
Please speak.
I do. So Charlie, give us the rundown.
So if we're going down the rundown, I hope all of you had hope going Hope College going out in the round of 32 because they were upset. Well, probably not upset, honestly, by Wartburg College, 79-49
Wartburg
on the 2nd of March.
Powerhouse.
Wartburg, traditional D3 women's basketball powerhouse. Everyone, the dream is still alive for Wisconsin Oshkosh.
Wait, I'm going to pause you right there, Charlie. I'm going to pause you right there. First of all, if you have a college named Hope College, you have to make it to at least the Elite Eight. At least.
Secondly, the
thing that's annoying about Hope College is here's their slogan. Some call, and I'm reading this verbatim from hope.edu. Some call Holland, Michigan a vacation destination. We call it home. Show me one person who's called Holland, Michigan a vacation destination. Show me one person.
I think they mistook Holland, Michigan for the Netherlands.
For Holland, yeah. So yeah. I'm really upset about that.
They have
that.
A very long list
maybe
of,
it's on
of
the lake.
Distinguished alumni. Among former...
You ever been to Holland, Michigan in summertime? It's magical.
A lot of these people are ministers.
The Flying Dutchman.
Yeah, the Hope Flying Dutchman.
That's a sick
And they're
mask.
In Holland, too.
Well, the hope.
Oh, whoa!
Listen,
whoa.
Wow. Listen,
this runs deep.
This does run.
I hate to break it to you, Owen, but if Hope was still dreaming of dancing in this tournament, their progress was stopped by Wartburg. Wartburg College, traditionally a powerhouse, as I said, a four-year liberal arts college of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, located in Waverly, Iowa.
That was a little religious battle right there.
Yeah, two religious schools.
That was a crusade.
Distinguished alumni include Tom Zirbel, professional bike racer in 2009, USA Cycling NRC points champion.
Attaboy.
Wartburg sounds like what's the league below the Premier League team? Below the Premier League?
The championship.
Yeah, Wartburg sounds like a championship league club.
Listen,
you know what I mean?
Wartburg.
Yeah, right, the Warts.
Wartburg is leading the distinguished alumni battle here, thanks to Sarah Lucina, famous winner of Survivor : Game Changers and contestant on Survivor Cagayan.
Wait, what season of Survivor was that?
I don't know.
Well, look it up.
That is, in fact, what it is in the name, a game changer.
I watch a lot of Survivor.
I would also like to mention that, one, Hope was the 10th ranked team and Wartburg was the 11th ranked team, so that qualifies as an upset.
All right, the Lutherans proved to be the winners there.
But Tufts was...
99 theses.
Going back to Tufts very briefly, Tufts did not get the hosting gig. Scranton did, even though Tufts is the 4th ranked team nationally.
What is going on
Scranton
with that?
Is number 9.
So the thing with that is, let me make sure I'm not making a fool of myself before I talk about this.
Is Messiah close to Scranton as well?
Messiah's in Pennsylvania, and I'll bet Chris Newport is in Pennsylvania as well.
I think it's ridiculous. The NCAA does this stuff all the time.
Virginia. Oh, whoa. All right, what?
All the time, the NCAA does
like Newport News.
Thing.
Yeah, so it's hard to complain. It's hard to complain because some of us older JumboCast members will know that we've gotten a lot of these neutral sites.
It swung our way a lot.
Proximity hosts or something like that. Well, we've gotten a lot
Boston
of
Boston is a destination area, you know?
We got a lot of those soccer games because we were just happened to be like the closest university to everybody else.
It's reasonable.
But I got to say, playing a team called Messiah, I'm a little worried.
Me too.
It's hard to beat the Messiah.
Honestly, they may have a ringer.
Does Tufts not have a great track record against religious affiliated schools? Is that part of your worry?
That would be a safer metric.
They could just have a magical player appear.
Sure. That's right. A magical warrior king.
Now listen, I'm not going to try and quash any of you because we're predicting big things, I assume, for Tufts and Amherst and Bowdoin still in this bracket. But I think you have to watch out as a team to beat potentially Mary Hardin Baylor, which is a school that is just a woman's name, which is actually, interestingly enough, was formerly the women's school of Bowdoin. Chartered in 1845 of Baylor.
Okay.
chartered by the Republic of Texas in 1845 when Texas was still an independent country.
Yep, that's
as
right.
Baylor Female College. It now is its own school.
Now it is one singular female.
Yes,
that's right.
And it is it's distinguished alumni ironically include Buddy Groom, Major League Baseball pitcher.
You know, that is very ironic.
They are playing Washington University in St. Louis, a school that did not accept me. So, just putting that one
Much
out
reason
there.
To be salty.
You were trying to go to Washington University of St. Louis to study English?
I didn't know what I was going to study when I was 18 years old.
Yeah, because if you're not doing science there, you're kind of doing something wrong.
Is it a science school?
Yeah.
I don't know much about it.
Yeah, it's a
business
heavy
school,
science
too.
Yeah, but now I don't have to go to school in Missouri, so.
Yeah, it's
the best.
True beauty of D3, really, is learning about all of these colleges that I had no idea existed.
Yes. Transylvania.
You know what?
We've talked about Transylvania on the show before.
Yeah.
It is not great that Tufts doesn't play here, but at least they're playing in the Electric City.
It's true.
It's going to be wild there.
Scranton's also a religious school. There's a lot of religious schools.
Yeah, the religious schools have done very well.
Yeah.
There's Misericordia University in Pennsylvania. I feel like Pennsylvania gets creative with their universities.
So,
you know, we got Indiana University of Pennsylvania.
And Arcadia? Are they both there?
Misericordia, this is a little bit of a sidetrack, but as you guys know, I am perhaps the world's biggest Babson baseball fan.
Donning the sweatshirt as we speak.
I have the Babson baseball sweatshirt right now. And Babson was going to go to the College D3 World Series last year had it not been for an electric run by Misericordia University.
I hate to see it.
Yeah, they knocked out my Beavers.
Yeah, most of these schools are actually religious schools. Messiah particularly has actually beaten two religious schools on their way here.
Messiah being a religious school is not the biggest surprise.
Recapping Messiah's rise to the Sweet 16, Messiah defeated Hilbert College in the first round of the NCAA tournament, a private Franciscan college located in Hamburg, New York, who have one notable alumni, who was a New York State Assemblyman. That's Joseph Giglio.
Your home. Your home state.
Yeah. They have a really good, they have some fun clubs here, Students and Free Enterprise
Club. Aren't you guys from New York, too?
Yeah.
You're from New Jersey.
New Jersey. New York area. To sound a little better.
Tri-state
quick
area.
Quick shout out to Hilbert's Never Miss Dance Club.
We're digging into the weeds here.
Never miss dance.
Never miss dance.
Yeah, like don't miss it.
Like
yeah.
Has it happened once?
I'm Googling.
Pop in at Hilbert.
There's another New York school. There's three New York schools.
Yeah, so they beat Hilbert, and then
my God.
They moved on then to beat Berea, Ohio powerhouse Baldwin Wallace University, which was founded by Methodists. It has two campus sites, very excitingly.
Who knew the school was big?
Tufts is representing the secular powers.
Well, the college's radio station, WBWC, is known throughout the Cleveland area.
Huh.
Their traditions include April Rain, which is a series of contests and athletic events where student organizations compete the week before finals.
Is this when we fire up the Fun Times in Cleveland Today video? Or should we only do that if we play?
This is an audio only. Wow, they've had some exciting concert performances during April Rain, including Toby Keith, Maroon 5.
Wow, that's not bad.
Asher Roth and Jeremiah.
Asher Roth was my king when I was like 14 years old.
Wasn't he the one who sang I Love College?
Yeah, I Love College, which there we probably go. Can't say anything more about until Safe Haven hours on this radio station. But
that Messiah lost their first game of the year and hasn't lost since.
Who did they lose their first game of the year to?
York College of Pennsylvania.
Oh,
go figure.
Fighting York.
They smacked him with the peppermint
The
pads.
Psychology Club, this is jumping back to Hilbert College.
Oh my God, can we stop talking?
The interest never stops.
Their department clubs include Freudian Slips, which is the name of the psychology club, and Cyberhawks, which is their computer security club. They are also the Hawks, which, you know, that will explain things. They also have a club that is called Prism Warriors.
Prism?
Prism.
Prism. Oh, I thought you said prison.
Prism. And I don't really know what that's about.
Sounds like people go a little too hard for geometry.
I don't know about that one.
Essentially, to summarize this lengthy tangent, the Division III women's basketball official bracket is filled with everyone's favorite schools that everyone knows, like Vassar.
Everybody knows Vassar.
Yeah, I know.
And Poughkeepsie.
Yeah.
Right? See a lot of great schools that have been bouncing these first couple rounds. Chicago, Pomona,
Western New England, where my cousin went.
There you go.
Westfield State.
Rutgers,
my girlfriend's dad went.
Western New England getting bounced is also important to note because, never mind. I was getting that confused with Eastern Connecticut State, which is the team that's not Tufts or Bowdoin that Amherst has lost to this season.
How about there's a school called DePauw?
DePauw, yeah.
Which is not DePaul, which is a well-known...
No, there's no,
it was
DePauw.
Actually, it was actually created.
That's how it's pronounced.
Spelling error.
I have this weird feeling.
They couldn't believe it wasn't trademarked.
This school being in Indiana is the least surprising.
I feel like DePauw might have a men's Division I basketball team. You can check on that, but...
No, DePauw.
DePauw.
Yeah. They for sure do. They smacked my Hoyas the other night. I'm a bit disappointed.
But does DePauw?
I feel
how
like
do you
they
pronounce
might.
This?
I think it's DePauw.
DePauw?
They actually have a separate page for their distinguished alumni.
NAICU. Oh.
They had an astronaut. Margaret Mead went to DePauw, the cultural anthropologist, who is someone actually who is very well known. You also have Scott Adsit. Anyone know like Pete Hornberger on 30 Rock?
Oh yeah.
He went to DePauw. They have a very good performing arts program.
Sounds like it.
One of the voice actors on the Smurfs went to DePaul.
Huge.
Is so Amherst.
Dan Quayle
DePaul
also went to DePaul.
To Jumbo cast favorite Oshkosh.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Oh, man.
So
we have some members of this club
Oshkosh
love UW Oshkosh.
The fighting Koshes.
So Amherst is playing another purple and white team, which is always bad mojo for me.
Is
I
it?
Never bet on those games.
Oh, and who do you like?
The line is always unstable.
Who do you like? Do you like Oshkosh or Wartburg?
Oh, like, how are you gonna say that Wartburg isn't on an absolute tear right now?
Does anyone know the betting line for that game?
I think they're gonna see Wartburg's laying 3.
Oshkosh has had an easy ride to where they are right now.
Wartburg is going to see a promotion to the Prem.
They only beat DePaul by 2, and then they played some team called Loras, which I only think of Loras Tyrell, who's like the least fun Game of Thrones character.
Or the keeper on France, Hugo Loras.
Yeah, you're losing.
Probably botching that pronunciation.
Yeah, no, it's L-O-R-A-S, right? Isn't it?
He's got that double S.
No.
Probably some French twist to it. There you go.
Whereas Wartburg had a fight past teams such as Hope University, which, just looking at the name, is a huge win. And Bethany Lutheran. And I have a friend named Bethany, and she's really awesome. And so,
is she religious, though?
She's not religious, but but Wartburg hung 91 on them, which I bet is the highest number we've seen. Has anybody hit triple digits in this tournament so far?
Not that I saw here. It's been fairly low scoring.
No one's hung a slick C-note on any team.
Thomas Moore has actually burst onto the scene. 79 and 67. They'll be facing Transylvania, who just scored 76 to put them past Oglethorpe, named for the founder of Georgia.
I'm a big Oglethorpe fan.
WashU actually scored 86 to go over George Fox University, which I didn't know existed.
You aren't looking at the sabermetrics, Charlie. WashU, they didn't accept me. So
that's true.
Just something to keep in mind.
I think the highest scoring team in this tournament, hands down, has been Bowdoin, though. They came in and scored 93 against Hunter College from New York.
I have put up
87 to get over Smith. So they're powering through the New York schools, the Seven Sisters, and they're on their way to SUNY New Paltz.
Another New York school.
They'll be hosting
them.
I have
a friend who goes to WashU, and he was here last weekend. And I was like,
what did he have to say?
Why are you here? He said, well, I'm actually missing a crazy weekend at school. It's Mardi Gras.
Oh.
And I was like, you go to school in St. Louis. He's like, it's like the second biggest Mardi Gras around the world. I'm like,
someone published
we only know about the one Mardi Gras.
There's only one Mardi Gras.
And they forget that other countries call it something a little different.
Yeah. Someone published a list of like best places in the United States to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. Now, Boston was number 4.
Wait, what's higher than Boston?
I have no idea. Probably
Chicago?
Someone's probably positioned New York up there.
So while you're looking that up, I just want to say Amherst playing St. Thomas of Minnesota. The Tommies have a fierce rivalry. I actually know this. I'm not looking this up. Fierce rivalry with St. John's, who are the Johnnies.
One of my good friends just graduated. He was a former Tommy.
There you go. Both good schools.
All right, here we are.
But they lost to Wartburg, so.
I assume it's not the St. John's in Queens, correct?
No, it's in Minnesota.
The one in Minnesota, okay.
Yeah.
Because Minnesota rivalries run deep.
They joke around. I feel like they're copying the St. John's in Minnesota. They joke around calling themselves the Johnnies, but really they're the Red Storm.
There you go.
All right, so you heard it here.
I actually went to a Johnnies game a couple weeks ago.
They're having a good
in Minnesota?
No.
Chamorri Ponds?
Yeah, Chamorri Ponds played awful basketball, but they still beat Villanova. All of the St. John's fans are exactly how you would expect them to be. They're all from New York.
City
and
folk.
And they're still upset that the Red Storm had to change their name a couple years ago.
Yeah, I was about to say, was that a problematic thing? Was that a problematic thing?
It was
thing?
Offensive because it was originally a different name.
Yeah,
they should have just explained that it's about communists.
Oh. what was their name?
They were the Red Men.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
that's McCarthy just turned over in his grave.
I mean, listen, if you change up all problematic racist Native American terms and have them describe communists, I think it would read better.
Have any of you guys ever been to Ithaca, New York?
I have a bunch of friends who go to Ithaca, but I have never been there.
Hey, get this.
You know what they say about Ithaca?
Ithaca is gorgeous.
That is,
am I right, guys?
Perhaps the worst thing in the world today.
My friend
probably the
from
best
Minnesota
thing.
Wanted to come this way to visit, And we have a friend who lives, who goes to school in Ithaca.
You have a lot of friends.
Yes, I do have a lot of friends. But this is
all
not
over the
point of the story. And the kid from Ithaca said, "Why would you ever come to Ithaca? I want to leave Ithaca."
People forget, Ithaca, home of Cornell University.
Yes,
a school that did not accept me.
Oh, okay.
Also,
the
Ithaca
vengeance
College.
Is all over the show.
Are there any other schools that... Oh, so Bowdoin did not accept me.
Well, we stuck it to him a couple weekends ago.
Make that as you will. I'm going to find other schools that I applied to.
Other schools on the revenge game slate for Owen Finnegan.
I have
Finnegan.
A friend.
Did not apply to MIT.
Owen Finnegan famously applied to Trine University.
I got into Middlebury. Didn't go.
All right.
Yep. I was a feb.
You stuck it to them.
Yeah, I showed them. I just went to the other NESCAC school that I got into.
That was me, but with Wesleyan.
Lucas just got pretty disappointed hearing that.
You applied to Wesleyan?
I got into Wesleyan.
You got into Wesleyan?
Yeah, I was between Wesleyan and Tufts.
Oh, Emory. I got into Emory. If this is the Atlanta Emory.
I did an overnight at Wesleyan. That was the only overnight I did. And the fact that I could probably throw a baseball across campus made me realize, yeah, that probably wasn't
the
place
anybody
for me.
It's actually, it's probably wider than Tufts' campus, honestly.
Hmm. Why anybody would go to school in Middletown, sure. Connecticut?
It's like, it depends on if you like, it's about if you like doing things or not.
Sure. It's, I mean, they
do build it. Like doing
they
things.
Do build it up as the school that is halfway between New York and Boston, so.
Yeah, but that's still like you're 2 hours
right.
away from
yeah,
right.
You know how they say, if you build it, they will come.
That's right.
That referred to Wesleyan, and the they entailed about 2,000 students and a bunch of Thai restaurants.
Not a whole lot of Massachusetts schools.
No.
Well, that's because you have the dominance
State.
Of...
Westfield State.
My high school hockey coach had a brief stint there before he moved on to Lebanon Valley College, another tried and true Pennsylvania school.
Let's check out Lebanon Valley College.
So Westfield State... there's a lot to say about Westfield State.
Of course.
There's a lot to say about Westfield State. What else?
Emmanuel? Can you say a lot of things about Westfield State?
Where is it located? Notable alumni?
It's in Westfield, Massachusetts, which is in central Massachusetts.
Okay.
Sort of near, Worcester.
Bustling region.
And my girlfriend's dad went there.
Okay.
And he is a software salesman, so... That's pretty cool, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know anybody that went to Westfield State. Not a whole lot of people from my hometown went to Westfield State. But it was founded by Horace Mann, which is pretty cool.
Huh.
He's like the father of public education in the United States. So.
And one example of how hard it is to get into the public schools of New York City.
Yeah,
Horseman
right.
is a private school.
Oh, it is.
Nonetheless, absolutely destroyed.
No, it's okay.
Named after the king of public schools, it's like one of the most expensive
private schools.
Private schools, great school though.
No, this is when cool. I go from saying I'm all from right. the tri-state area to firmly being from New Jersey, because that knowledge gap was real.
No, are you from New York?
I am.
Are you from
Westchester, though.
So. Oh, you're Westchester.
No, where in Westchester are you?
I'm Chappaqua.
Oh, I'm Briarcliff. Yeah, we've discussed this.
Yeah, we're
adjacent.
Briarcliff, here they have a great theater department.
Briarcliff Manor has a great theater department, home of the high school premiere of Melvin Bragg and Howard Goodall's musical... The Hired Man, performed back in 2014.
Oh, Smith. That's a Massachusetts
that's
school.
Smith is a Massachusetts school.
I go to the gym in Briarcliff Manor.
Club Fit.
Is that a
CrossFit?
I'm no
longer a member, though.
No, it's massive. It's just a massive gym. That's it's cool. huge, and it's great, because you go, and then you're like, wow, I feel good about myself, because there is no one else my age here. It's all senior citizens.
Yeah, until you walk in, like, when you walk into that locker room, you have to brace yourself.
What can you guys tell me about New Paltz, New York?
New Paltz.
New Paltz, New York.
The pronunciation.
That's very far.
It is firmly in the Hudson Valley.
Yeah.
On my, on my way up to camp, I would always pass signs for New Paltz. Always wondering what was there, but never really being too interested to go. Part of the great SUNY school system, you got SUNY Cortland.
SUNY Geneseo.
Geneseo.
SUNY Purchase, SUNY Binghamton.
SUNY Baruch, right?
SUNY Harvard.
SUNY Westchester now.
Yeah, SUNY.
Oh,
SUNY Westchester.
SUNY,
formerly a community college, is now a SUNY.
That's awesome.
And the SUNY University at Buffalo.
All right.
I think the
Khalil
only,
Mack, right? Khalil
yeah, the
Mack
only school that I think sports some D1 programs.
They're
no, I think
Bob Hurley.
Binghamton is D1.
The tournament. Oh, right. Yeah, they're in the tournament last
They're just not particularly good.
Sure. Bobby Hurley,
so I'm
coaching
from
up there.
Sherbourne, Massachusetts, and I
That's a great mumble.
I moved to Needham, Massachusetts Sherbourne. When I was like 14.
Thanks.
Just thought you guys would want to know.
I didn't. Yeah.
And now I live in Somerville, Massachusetts.
We're gonna take a short break here, because we need to play a PSA.
Yes.
But then we're gonna be back, and I'm gonna bring in a trivia question that I heard last night in the on-campus trivia that's related to sports, and we're gonna see if our JumboCast members can answer it.
Sounds good.
All right, coming up right after this.
John, we can't keep putting this off.
Okay, I'll clean the gutters.
I'm talking about your dad.
Well, what can we do? He wants to stay in his house.
We can make his house safer.
Yeah, I worry about the steps.
Perfect world, there are no steps, but he does have steps. And that banister only goes halfway up. And all those little throw rugs are falls waiting to happen.
So what about his prescription meds? If he forgets and takes them twice, he could get really dizzy.
Right. We could get him one of those daily pill counters. And he should have some sturdy hand grips in the bathroom and shower. This is all easy to do.
You know he's a proud guy. He's not going to take all our fussing lying down.
That's the idea.
For older people, falling and breaking a hip can be devastating. For more tips on making homes safer, visit orthoinfo.org/falls. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association.
Now please, clean the gutters. Just be careful on the ladder.
And we're back. JumboCast Radio, it is 2:46 in 10 seconds. You're listening to 91.5 FM. We're about to go into the quiz portion of our show today.
Ba-ba-da-da.
So there was on-campus trivia last night for seniors, and as a senior, I attended, and we came in ninth.
How was that?
Questions were okay. It was written by two of the the TCU president and vice president.
Okay.
And like, it was just a little too specific. So good trivia should have like a way of you being able to get to the answer.
Yeah.
It like shouldn't Jeopardy. Just be. There shouldn't just be like one fact that you need to know.
Right.
A lot of these questions were like, "What's the name for a group of bears?"
Oh, I don't like that.
No. So it was like very much like. You had to guess more than you should have.
I'm a big trivia guy.
Yeah. But one of the good questions that was there is this. So there are 9 teams in the 4 major sporting leagues.
Without an S. Is that in it?
Yeah. Do you know them all?
I mean, I could probably rattle them off in about 20 seconds.
All right. What's the question?
Okay, so there are 9 major teams.
I've never heard.
Oh, you've never heard this? Yeah. Okay, Owen's gonna do it then. 9 major teams in football, baseball, basketball, and hockey.
All right.
That don't have an S at the end of their name.
All right.
Name them. This
at
is
the
just
end of their
this
name?
Is just Owen.
At the end of their name.
At the end of their name. If Owen doesn't get 6. He has to step down from being GM of Jumbo.
All right. Without an S at the end of their name. Minnesota Wild.
1.
Okay.
Boy.
Red Sox.
Yeah.
White Sox.
Yeah.
That's tricky. All right.
S sounding, but
it's
not
perhaps
S
the
ending.
Least tricky part of it. When the remaining 15 minutes of the show
Jazz,
is just okay for the remaining 15 minutes of the show is just Owen going
Thunder.
Yeah.
Oh wow, I'm pretty good at this. It's all
five, right?
Yeah. Is that 4 or 5?
5.
Is that 5?
5.
So I need one more.
Yeah, but you're trying to get all 9.
I don't know. Oh wait, there's 9?
There are 9 of them.
Oh my god.
I was setting the goal at a reasonable level.
All right.
I think we should shoot for the sky. I think we should go for 9.
I don't know any hockey teams. Well,
can I chip in with one?
Wait, isn't there the Flame?
No, that's the Flames.
There are multiple Flames.
Hurricanes. That doesn't count.
That doesn't count, it would have counted.
Are there any NFL teams?
He makes the rules right here.
There are no NFL
There's
teams.
There's no NFL teams, right? Okay.
The New England Patriot.
Just the one guy.
We are all Patriot. Let me think baseball.
New York Giant.
Are you guys getting any?
I got one.
Do I have to get these all myself?
All right, no.
Orlando Magic.
Oh, yeah. Good one, Noah. Good one.
We're up
Noah.
To six.
The powerhouse Central Florida hockey team of the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Oh, the Lightning. Good
I
one.
I spent last night. I was thinking through. I knew it was in Florida, and I couldn't think of the Lightning.
You know, Brian Boyle went to my high school.
Really?
And how big of a hockey fan are you, like NHL fan?
Oh, huge. He unfortunately just got traded from my favorite team, the Devils, to the Predators on their playoff run, because the Devils are firmly out of playoff contention.
Do you know Noah Hannifin?
I do. Did he go to your high school as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, I was boys with him.
Wow.
I was boys with him. Have his phone number.
BC faithful.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no big deal. Okay, are we two away?
I believe so.
Wow. I'm blanking on these two.
Here you go. Yeah, this is tough. Oh my! No, because they're athletics, aren't they?
They're not just the athletic.
They're not just the athletic.
So I think it's a sports
Atletico
club,
Madrid,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
So you have one in the NBA that you haven't gotten, and you have one in the NHL that you
one
haven't
in
gotten.
The NBA that I haven't gotten. One in the NBA that I haven't gotten. Wait, who's in that? Who? Oh, the Heat.
Duh. Yeah.
Yeah.
So one in the NHL now.
Okay. I got to tap out of this NHL one. There's no chance I get it. I got to pass that one off.
Give me.
I'm trying to think about it.
A minute or
something
two.
Something about Florida not having their team names end with an S. Magic, Heat,
oh
Lightning.
Oh, my gosh. It's bugging me.
NHL. Man, is it the. No, they're the. Yeah.
Also, put on your headphones right now.
Let's see here.
No, did you hear the news?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, that's tough.
Oh, yeah, Alex Trebek. Wow, this is... I just, like, gotten all these...
I think we gotta call it, Charlie.
Okay, it's a team that is on the western side of the country.
The western side
okay.
of the country?
It's a hockey team.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
There we go, the Colorado nice. Avalanche.
Nice.
It's brutal.
Yeah. That's tough.
Very
That's
nice.
A tough question, dude. Oh, my God.
It's a good question,
Colorado
isn't it?
Colorado Avalanche may be the most...
I didn't even know they existed.
The most irrelevant of the four major...
They just snuck the first overall pick out of the Senators' back pocket in the big trade that...
Didn't they have a good player?
Yeah, so they had this guy, Matt Duchene, who was trade bait for a while... Then she got shipped to the Senators when they thought they were still cup contenders the year after they made the conference final. They continued to regress a lot.
Yeah,
kind of were in the
right?
basement this year and then shipped Duchene to the Blue Jackets, who are making a run to the playoffs. And in the process of that Duchene trade, the first one that is, they sent their what is pretty much now going to be the first overall pick, barring any magic in the draft lottery, to the Avalanche. So a team, dropping some hockey knowledge, so a team that already includes Hart Trophy candidate Nathan McKinnon.
That's the only guy I know.
Young stud Gabriel Landeskog.
What is the Hart Trophy?
Will now, the Hart Trophy is the MVP trophy.
Okay, thank you.
will likely include...
How are the Bruins doing?
Bruins are doing well, yeah. They...
All you Boston fans are just going to jump on the bandwagon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
can't
fun
wait.
Fact.
Can't wait.
And
come
this, is something, this is something not only can our fans of other sports besides hockey, but like just non-sports fans in general can appreciate is that last Saturday night against the New Jersey Devils, my team, a game that, frankly, I could have gone to because, the Devils are up here, but considering the season they're
Steep
having...
Steep ticket prices.
I wasn't trying to pay the exorbitant price for a garbage game that ended 1-0, But in that game, that one goal... for that one goal, Brad Marchand... gritty power forward of the Boston
gritty.
Bruins, who has a history of biting people on the ear.
Don't we all?
A lot of funny antics by the little Canadian he is.
Boston legend.
So the fun fact is that he recorded on that goal his 666th career point. And also tallied his 666th career penalty minute against the Devils. Coincidence?
Whoa.
I think not.
I think they're trying to get the NHL on the map.
I don't mind the Boston fans. They're passionate. I cannot stand the Rangers fans. It's like
they're absurd.
I'm not even a big hockey fan. But all these Rangers fans, they'll go to the playoffs, which I know is not going to happen this year, but they'll go to the playoffs, and all of a sudden...
Did you see this?
No. They'll be at the games. They'll be... I cannot stand the Rangers fans.
Are you a Rangers or Islanders guy?
I'm a Flyers fan.
A Flyers?
Ooh. What are they? Are they Philly? I like all the Philadelphia sports teams.
But hey, at least we can agree that the Rangers suck.
The Rangers do suck.
Congrats on Bryce Harper.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
Oh, and didn't you hear Mike Trout's coming too?
Mike Trout is on the way.
Is he on the way?
He is. Bryce, 2020, baby.
Calls. You know, Trout. This is serious.
Are you guys getting Xander Bogaerts and Mookie Betts as well?
No. This is serious right now.
Pockets run deep.
This is serious. Bryce Harper called to get information about Philadelphia from?
Who'd he call?
Mike Trout.
Oh yeah, he's from
Millville, New Jersey native.
Mike Trout is at every single Philadelphia Eagles game. He's at most Sixers games, and come 2020, he'll be at 162 Philadelphia Phillies regular season games.
But hey, in the end...
That assumes he doesn't tear his ACL.
Yeah.
As
Harper pointed out, that ring isn't going to the city of brotherly love. It's going to D.C.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
he didn't say that. I will say, I have been to Philadelphia, and I have been to D.C.
Oh, look at him go. Big traveler.
Worldwide over here.
I prefer
East Coast boy.
I prefer. Do you guys want to talk about my travels around the United States?
Sure. No, not particularly.
So my favorite city I've been to in the United States has probably been Austin, Texas.
Interesting.
Is it weird?
The blue dot in the red state.
That's right.
Have they kept it weird?
They keep it weird. They certainly
keep
it weird.
You heard it here first.
But I prefer Philadelphia to D.C. I'm not a D.C. guy.
So do I. I prefer Philadelphia to most.
Well, D.C.'s a little cold.
No. Philly's No.
Philly's pretty good. I like it. Good place.
Burlington, Vermont. Great city.
Tallest filing cabinet in the world is in Burlington, Vermont.
That's right.
Wow.
That's all you need to know.
That's right.
You know what? My friend used to have this book. It was called The Book of Useless Information. And it would just have facts like that. That's definitely straight out of the book Useless Information.
My friend Ezra, big fan of the tallest filing cabinet in the world in Burlington, Vermont.
How did you guys become
a fan of that?
You just end up in Burlington and you're like, what's there to do here? And they say very little. Go to the filing cabinet.
Charlie.
Can you climb in it or something?
Charlie, there's so much to do in Burlington, Vermont.
Okay.
There's so much to do in Burlington, Vermont. Church Street Marketplace, Farmer's Market in the summer. There's a bunch of great restaurants and breweries.
What's that pronunciation of restaurants?
Restaurants. It's the French pronunciation. You should know that. There's Shelburne Museum right across the road. A lot of good bands are going up there nowadays. Lots of stuff to do on Lake Champlain. A lot of stuff to do in Burlington.
This has been your Burlington PSA.
By saying that Burlington is boring.
While we have 3 minutes left,
take it back. On air.
Retract it.
Thank you.
I would also like to mention, going off of your 666 point and penalty minute, if anyone's seen the statistic, so Chris Davis of the Oakland Athletics.
Oh, yeah.
Famously,
Crush Davis.
This is a good one.
Four straight years, he's batted .247 in the regular season. He's batting .187 this season in spring training, which has brought down his career spring training average to, you guessed it, .247. Which is just wild. And so there was a great comment on Reddit on that thread that picture this, game 163, play-in game for the playoffs.
Oh my goodness. Look who it is. Please introduce yourself.
Yeah.
Hi there. I'm Sam. I'm here. I will be actually doing the next hour.
Oh, you have the next show?
I'm actually subbing for somebody.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And the person you're subbing for is a person I lived with last year in Wren. Nice guy.
Yeah, so game 163. It's bases loaded, two outs, bottom of the ninth. Chris Davis is at bat. Looks at the scoreboard. His average is .248.
No.
He looks over to the dugout. Bob Melvin cries. Knows what's coming next. Chris Davis stands there, eyes closed, unable to move. Sees three straight fastballs down the plate. Strike three, season over. So Chris Davis combusts.
You know what? I think they'll take that the consistency of that Chris Davis over anything that's been done by the other Chris Davis the past couple of years.
That's fair.
So, before we let Sam go on, I just want to point out that women's lacrosse won their first game of the season.
Men's lacrosse won their first two as well, I believe.
And so should be pretty successful seasons from them, but we'll fill you in more on that when we get further into the season.
Yeah, and we'll be back in a month for JumboCast Radio. No show the week after next because it is spring break and
spring break.
Oh, no. But tune in next week at the same time. We'll stick through for Sam's hour of fun. and tune in next week at this time to hear Owen's radio show. You want to pitch that?
Yeah, it's so name change. Used to be entry level hipster garbage, but my
it's now intermediate level hipster garbage.
It is now Warehouse Tunes. So tune in from 2 to 3 next Friday for Warehouse Tunes.
All right, I'm just going to Sam. I'm going to put on something from autoplay while you get set up, but. Stay tuned. This is 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. This has been JumboCast Radio Hour.